You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. Hi, I'm Mike Pecanato, and I'm the host of Unterwegs, the En Route podcast. And the episode today is going to be a little bit different. As part of our new role with Envision Berlin, Alyssa and I were asked recently to be a part of the Envision intern training, and I was asked to bring a devotion to be part of that. It really gave me an opportunity to wrestle with some things that God has been putting on my heart, and I want to be able to share those with you today. So I took that devotional, I rewrote it a little bit to fit the podcast better, and then sat down with my son Caleb, and we recorded some music to put behind it. We'll get started today by listening to a couple of texts out of Genesis chapter 2, read by my wife Alyssa, and then later she'll join us again to read from Genesis chapter 1. Enjoy the show.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Genesis 2:26. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Genesis 2:27.
Mankind was created in the image of God. Some look at the triune nature of God, the Father speaking creation into being, the presence of the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters, Jesus from John chapter 1 being an intimate part of everything that was created, and the our language of Genesis 1, and say that this triune nature of God in the beginning means that when we're created in the image of God, we are also somehow triune in nature. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Some believe that being in the image of God means that we are, in some way, also eternal beings. Solomon alludes to this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 11, when he says, "He has also put eternity in their hearts." Other theologians say that it means we are set apart from the animal world by being carriers of the Imago Dei. Some say that mankind's nature before sin reflected God's holiness. Others say that being made in God's image means that we have the capacity to make free choices. One of my favorite implications of being created in the image of God means that things that are a part of God's nature have the potential to become a part of our nature as well. We can love because God is love. We can exercise justice because God is just. We can be creative, and this is the one I want to focus on, because God is the creator. I believe that everyone desires to create, and that this desire is a part of our very being because it is a part of what it means to be created in the image of God. I've had people say, "Mike, I am not a creative person. I don't think this part of God's nature exists in me." But this is such a short-sighted understanding of what it means to be creative. Yeah, sure, creativity is often expressed in the nature of our core motivations and gifts. Painters paint. Musicians compose, sculptors sculpt, dancers dance, choreographers choreograph, but entrepreneurs also create. They create and launch successful organizations. Some people are amazing at creating systems and structures to bring order to an organization. Others create and maintain relational networks. Creating is the ability to bring order to unorder, or to bring order to disorder.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Evening came, and then morning, the first day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. Genesis 1:1-8.
some of the words that start that text, "The earth was formless and empty," are really challenging words to translate. The NASB says formless and desolate. The King James Version says without form and void. When Martin Luther translated the Bible into German for the first time, he found those words really hard to translate as well. In fact, he just decided to stick with the Hebrew. Tohu, the Hebrew word for formless, and bohu, the Hebrew word for desolate, were just written into the German translation of the Bible. Tohu wa bohu. It actually entered into the German language, one of many words that Martin Luther added to the German language in his translation of the Bible. And that word is still sometimes used today. So it's not exactly contemporary German slang, but when you do hear the word tohu wa bohu being used, it means chaos, like the mess that's left after unsupervised kids spend some time in a room full of toys. This formless and desolate nature of the earth at this moment in the creation story can be a little confusing for some people, especially when we try to answer the how did the earth come into being question. A formless, pre-existing earth sometimes confuses us. How was there an earth before the earth was created, we often ask. In his book, The Lost World of Genesis 1, Dr. John Walton looks at ancient creation myths from other countries and notices how they describe how the world was ordered. According to Walton, most creation stories are not meant to explain in intricate detail how everything was created. Instead, there's an emphasis on why things were created. His explanation is more complex than this, but very simply, there are three states of creation. The first state is unorder. Unorder is the random, chaotic state before God acts. The second state is order, the harmonious state created by God that brings wholeness and flourishing to all things. And the final state is disorder, the force that seeks to tear down God's order and return things to chaos. So one of the themes of Genesis then is that God comes into this situation of unorder and creates order. And then disorder is enacted through Satan and the fall and ongoing sin. And then throughout the book of Genesis and then really the Bible, we see the ongoing work of God to restore things to order. As I processed the differences, I thought of how unorder reminds me a little bit of when we first moved to Germany. We had sold our house, we had sold and given away or stored all of our furniture, so we showed up in Berlin with a bunch of suitcases and no place to live. First couple of weeks, we found a house to live in, and then we had to begin to bring order to this formless void of an apartment. Now I know that apartments have a little bit of order already, the rooms are laid out, and so it's not completely unordered. But there was this sense that we had to turn this empty space with very little that we had brought with us into a home. We had to bring order into this unordered situation. I contrast that with another story from my childhood when my grandparents had rented out their home in Duluth as they started the process of turning their cabin into a year-round home and moving there. One of the renters had to eventually be evicted. And they just left the property in terrible condition. They had built temporary walls and put holes in other walls, and the apartment really was left pretty trashed. And in that situation, there was nothing about bringing order to an empty space. We were dealing with disorder, a situation that had descended from order into chaos. And this was especially sad because the space held such fond memories for us. This fine old house was descended into disorder, and we needed to restore it to order. Alyssa and I have over the years gotten to know a lot of artists, and most of our artist friends start their creative process with an idea, but then when they stand before the canvas or a blank stone or a piece of wax or a lump of clay, they're really starting with unorder. There's nothing there. And they're bringing ideas of order to this unorder and then start to create. We also know a few artists who start with disorder. They find used metal or trash and they begin to bring order to disorder. In both cases, the end result is order, but the starting place can be really different. I think what this does reflect for us is our human condition that's often very uncomfortable with an unordered state. Now, when Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that German theologian, faces the unorder here, he chooses deliberately to focus instead on the constancy of God. And maybe that's the best place for us to go when we're looking at such an absence of form. Bonhoeffer writes, "The earth is formless and empty, but he, is the Lord. As Bonhoeffer comments on the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of waters, he speaks peace into a situation that could cause challenges for us. Unorder sometimes feels like it has a power of its own. Any writer who struggled with writer's block knows the fear a blank page can inspire. And Bonhoeffer wanted to be sure to communicate that the Spirit of God hovering over the waters was not overwhelmed by the formlessness. The unorder did not result in motionless hovering. Instead, Bonhoeffer claims that this is a snapshot of the blink of an eye in which unorder and the unformed are deliberately compared and contrasted with the Creator. We have a glimpse here into the brief hesitation before God gives Dasein, Sozein. What that means is that we're viewing the instant in time before existence receives its very essence. Some German translations don't even use the word hovering for the Spirit here. They use the word brooding because they feel that this idea, like a hen sitting on its nest, brooding the eggs, getting ready for something to come into being, better communicates the essence of God in this situation. Pastor Ken Weitzma says that the first thing God creates is a separation in which the rest of creation takes place. I'd never really thought of it that way before. God creates light and separates it from darkness. He makes an expanse between the waters. And we're told he separates water above from water below. In both cases, God creates this separation. Some say that the first space, the first separation he creates is actually giving creation time. I like that idea, especially when you think that this initial separation is separating light from darkness. Here, time is very, very general. There's daytime and nighttime, but the heavenly bodies are not created until later, which means that there's no regulation of the passing of time. The time that God creates here is really a separation. There's time when it's dark, and there's time when it's light. But this is without the stress that I particularly connect with it. The inevitable ticking of time often brings disorder to the stillness of my soul. The passing seconds and minutes and hours and days and the lack of progress in those passing units of time on my growing to-do list can sometimes be really overwhelming. But here, in a pre-heavenly bodies mindset, this differentiation means that there's just daytime and there's nighttime. There's a real separation. There's time when the sun is up and time when the sun is down. And for me, this means that God's very first act of bringing order to unorder is ensuring that creation has space and time to thrive. What does this mean for us as we are unterwegs? How do we bring this into a mindset of being en route in our life? There really are a lot of implications. I'll just give you a couple that I thought of. First, I think it's important to acknowledge that God's initial work of creation started in unorder. And there have been key times in my life, key times of transition, where I really felt like a lot of things were formless and void. Were they really? Probably not. It's impossible for us to be in a situation that has no form, but it felt that way to me. I think of the time when I knew I needed to change my major in college, but I did not know what to change to or where to go after I changed. I was standing in front of this sea of possibilities. I had to just kind of wait for God to bring some sense of order into that unorder for me. I think also as we recently launched Envision Berlin, things weren't quite as formless. We had guidelines we needed to stay within, but the question, what are the problems we most want to solve, was a huge one because there are so many potential ways to go. And when we're facing those situations of unorder, it's really important for us to remember that God is not overwhelmed. In fact, perhaps God is more poised to act in those situations than in situations where everything is already laid out. It's also really important for us to see this redemptive thread that runs through the Bible as God steps in to restore order to the disorder caused by sin. Didn't talk a lot about that today, but let's face it, we're often going to make mistakes. And sometimes, for some people, that fear of making mistakes can paralyze people into inaction or cripple them when mistakes are made. I think even when we have a healthy respect for the impact of failure, an understanding of grace, and a belief in a God who will bring order to the messes we create can really bring a sense of freedom as we're facing decisions. And finally, I'm really encouraged by the thought of creating space. Biblically, God gifts us this space as well. We call it Sabbath, this time when we are to intentionally create space. As we go through the rest of the Old Testament, we find that God legislated feasts and celebrations. He created even more space. What does that mean for you? I mean, for me, if I fill my life to overflowing, as I often do, with activities and busyness, I'm not leaving God much space and time to move. And if I fill all of my silent moments with noise, I'm not leaving him much time or space to speak. What are the areas in your life that God needs to create space between? I mean, in Genesis 1, God created space between light and darkness. So surely he can help you create space in a life that might seem impossibly full. And then that leads to some other questions. When that space exists, when that time exists, what order will God bring into it? Or what creative dreams of yours will God partner with you to bring into being? What essence of an idea is God about to bring into existence, allowing you to display part of the image of God in you? I would really love to hear from you. If anything that's taken place in this podcast today is something you'd like to chat with me about, if you want to start a dialogue with more people, then please go to our Discord server. You'll find the link inside the show notes. You can email me at podcast@envisionberlin.com. Again, that's podcast@envisionberlin, one word, .com. Look forward to hearing from you. Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of I Am Intercultural, a division of Exigent Communication, in partnership with Envision Berlin. Please like, share, and subscribe. Podcast music is by Mike Picanato.